May the word of my lips be in the name of the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you please sit down? Well, here we are. We've made it through to Christmas Day, hopefully without mishap. For the church, Advent is a time of watching and waiting. For most of us, unfortunately, it tends to be a time of busyness and rushing around. There are plans to be made, there are presents to buy, food to buy, which we probably won't eat. Lots of extra events to attend, many of which are helpfully organised by the church. And so there is very little time to watch and wait. Very little time to reflect on what this all means, both in a global sense and also in a personal sense. We know the story that we've just heard very well. And in that familiarity, there is also a danger that we miss the important messages the story has for each one of us. But now we're here. The business and rushing around has stopped. The shops are closed. So whatever it is that you forgot to buy, it's too late. And Christmas will be none the worse for that. In our gospel reading that we just heard, we're told that Mary pondered on all the things that had happened. To ponder is a verb, so it's an active process of thinking about something. But it means to think deeply and over a long period of time. We now have an opportunity through the Christmas season to ponder on the meaning of Christmas and what it means for humanity and for you and for me in our daily lives. We didn't use the reading from Isaiah this morning, which set predictions concerning the Messiah. Isaiah's writings are well known to us, and they would have been well known to the Jews of Jesus' day. So it's easy to think that everybody was expecting the arrival of the Messiah when Jesus was born. In reality, some waited with bated breath, and some were not convinced that he would ever come. Even those who were waiting expectantly were not necessarily expecting him today. 25th of December, year zero. There was a further problem, because from the reading of Isaiah, you would be expecting the Messiah to come in glory and to be a warrior king. The image of King David, who had united the kingdom of Israel. So even those who were expecting the Messiah were not expecting him to come as a little baby, much less to be born in a cave and in a place as insignificant as Bethlehem. Throughout his ministry, Jesus encountered people who could not see in him the image of the Messiah that they had been expecting. Repeated attempts were made to get him to lead an army, to overthrow the Romans, and to re-establish the kingdom of Israel. But such thinking was totally at odds with the true mission of Jesus. Outside of the Jewish world, the idea of God or of the gods was of beings up on high, divorced from the world of men, who would occasionally get bored and decide to come down to earth, generally to mess things up for some hapless mortal. What a contrast with the scene we have in our gospel reading. A helpless baby, with no power to fend for itself, let alone cause mayhem for others. No rich robes or crown, just swaddling bands. No rich throne, just a cattle stall. No royal palace, just a cave where the animals were kept. No wonder that for Jesus some had credibility problems with him. But if you ponder on it for a while, you realise that this is the whole point of the incarnation of God as man. He hadn't come down to earth to have a brief frolic amongst humanity. He had come down to live as a human, to experience all the joys and sorrows that we experience, to share in our successes and in our failures, to know and to experience what it is to be human. He grieved at the death of his friend Lazarus. He joined in the joy and his celebration of the wedding in Cana. And he knew isolation and desolation in the Garden of Gethsemane. As we go through life, we will all have good and bad experiences. After all, Jesus said that he came to give us life in all its fullness. And he said that with direct knowledge of what that meant. So no matter how bad things might seem, just ponder the fact that God knows what you are going through. He's been there, done that, and he's wearing the t-shirt. He understands how difficult it is, and he will never desert us. He will never leave us to fend for ourselves. Just place your trust in him and seek his guidance and support. Let's move on to the gospel reading that we heard this morning, to the arrival of the first visitors to this very strange and very unsafe maternity ward. And who should turn up? Kings and princes to greet the royal birth? No, they don't arrive for another week. A common mistake in many nativity sets. What we have is a motley group of shepherds, no doubt fairly bedraggled and smelly as they had come straight from the fields around Bethlehem. Now in the first century, shepherds were a courageous, hard-working set of people, and Jesus often used shepherd imagery in his stories, as they would have been very familiar figures to his listeners. But they were really at the margins of society. We might say the lowest of the low. Uneducated and unsophisticated. They spent most of their lives wandering the fields in amongst their flocks of sheep. They were really not part of mainstream society. So why on earth would the Messiah's birth be announced to these ne'er-do-wells first? Why would they be the first to visit the baby Jesus? Well, ponder for a while, and I think the message that comes through is that if shepherds were good enough in the eyes of Jesus, then so are you and I. No matter our status, rich or poor, sick or healthy, male or female, gay or straight, young or old, fit or disabled, dishevelled or smart, we're all good enough for Jesus, just as we are, because that is how God created us. So never let anyone tell you that you're not good enough, and never tell anyone else that they're not good enough. Because if we are good enough for Jesus, we are good enough for everyone. God took a massive risk with the incarnation. It took place in a time before 24-hour news channels, social media, and the internet. It took place in an isolated place on the edges of the massive Roman Empire. A few years ago, there was an article in one of the newspapers which listed out all the fatal infections that Jesus was exposed to by being born in a stable or cave where the animals were kept. And then, of course, anyway, infant mortality rates at that time were extremely high. So the fact he made it to adulthood was nothing short of a miracle. Having started his mission, he had to avoid those who wanted to silence him for 3 years. When finally they caught up with him, he handed on the mission to 12 frightened and fairly unreliable disciples. What an incredible risk God took. And yet here we are 2,000 years later telling the same stories. But God's risk taking doesn't end there. Perhaps the greatest risk of all is that he has trusted us, you and me, to pass on this message to the next generation. We may not feel up to the task, but God trusts us, and we know that he is there to support us. We must not fail, and with God's help, we cannot fail. So as like Mary, we ponder on the events of this night 2,000 years ago, there are for me three key messages we need to take into our hearts. Firstly, Jesus knows exactly what it means to be human. Take your weakness, your frustrations, your anger to him, and he will understand. And then you can take your love to him. Secondly, if the shepherds were good enough for Jesus, then you and I, despite our imperfections, are good enough for him. And don't let anyone tell you otherwise. And don't tell anyone else otherwise. And thirdly, the whole of God's plan rests on our shoulders. As Mother Teresa famously said, Jesus has no hands and feet but ours. On our own, this is an impossible task. But the true meaning of Christmas is that God is with us, and he will never let us fail. Amen.